It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The truth is out there. And here, who knows? But either way, we're opening up the Bloom files here on Post Show Recaps. Hello, Mike Bloom doing his best spooky voice.
Oh, I was wondering why it was so low. I was like, oh, is this how we are now?
This is coming out on Halloween, and in true fashion, nothing is scarier to talk about on the X-Files than cancer and Buddhism.
True.
The two scariest topics.
Yeah, we didn't plan this well with what we would cover this week.
What would we, would the ghost one be?
No, that's a Christmas one.
I know, but it feels like the most Halloween-esque.
Yeah, I don't remember. I would have to, like, look.
I guess maybe the one with the cul-de-sac, the community they move into is, like, kind of Halloween.
Yeah, and there's some other ones that we haven't watched that are probably more Halloween-y, but...
Do any take place on Halloween and, like, make reference to it?
I truly cannot remember.
I'm sure that's the case. But anyway, we're talking about episode, 15 and 17 of season 7. And space Ami and all things lowercase.
Yes.
We're here.
We're here. We're ready.
We both got drinks this time.
Yeah. We did.
Angela made me a nice Moscow Mule.
I did, a Moscow Mule.
I'm feeling like Alexander Krycek, the Russians flowing through me.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope that's not the case. Not a big fan of him.
Would you kick me in the house, out of the house if I ever, like, did anything Krycek-y?
Yes, he's a bad person.
Discount double Krycek?
Yeah. No. Okay, anyway.
I got this guy for State Farm commercials. Yeah, I've already... A little loopy here. So let's get into these two episodes, because they are both incredibly different.
Well, yeah. So the first episode, Enami, is written by William B. Davis.
Oh, cigarette smoking guy.
Him, his own self. And so...
Now, given how the episode happens, this makes a lot of sense.
And his whole concept was about wanting to write an episode where his character would seduce Scully with something that she cared about, medical knowledge. That's, like, the big thing.
Okay.
So and he wanted to see if he, like, that was the whole point of writing this, was like, can my character do this to Scully?
Well, I think if we did have a connector between these two episodes, then it was the act of seducing Scully.
Truly. So, Chihuahua.
The title, I still don't get it outside of what it's supposed to sound like.
So it sounds like enemy.
But is it an actual phrase?
Yes, it translates from French to English into as a friend.
Oh, that's fun!
Yeah, so it's like, as a friend.
Look at
But also, it sounds like enemy.
Look at these French...
Or enema.
Or enema, which, listen, this guy's old. Maybe he was due for one.
Je suis... What is that, Muzzy?
Oh, je suis la jeune vie.
Yeah.
Yes, that's French you're speaking. You know what these children are? French,
yeah.
American.
Je suis la jeune vie. Oui, yes.
That means I am a little girl.
Yeah, sure. Oui, oui.
Exactly. So that's a fun title, though.
Yes,
like,
it is.
It's a literal double entendre.
Yeah, and it's like very punny.
So let's start here with something a little less happy.
Right, truly.
So, family driving home.
Yeah, and they're being sort of attacked a la you would get attacked outside of a Planned Parenthood.
Sort of?
Yeah, there's people basically up in arms. The issue is that this family is extremely religious, and this little boy has cancer.
Right, this little boy, Jason.
Has cancer, and his parents are denying him cancer treatment.
Yes.
Because they believe that if he got cancer, it was because God gave it to him. Mm-hmm. So if he's supposed to recover, God will cure him.
Real biblical. Like, this feels straight out of, yes, like 600 BC.
Right? Yeah, no, this is
God
rough.
God clearly made you sick. Yeah. And he's going to make you better if you deserve to get better.
This is tough. And neither of us are in the opinion of being super religious and having those religious ways guide our everyday existence.
I believe science over religion.
Yeah. And I think just from a perspective of not being religious, it's hard for us to get into the mindset of somebody like this. Also, for somebody that has cancer, it's like, we always talk about this when we're talking about things that are like cures, yeah, like cure-alls. I'm like, sure, apple cider vinegar might have some health benefits, but it's not going to cure your cancer.
Yeah.
So like, stuff like that is like, cancer's a big deal.
Yeah, you there's not probably really just an if-then statement that applies to a lot of medicine, right? Yeah. Like, well, if it works for this, then it'll definitely work for this.
Yeah, and so it's like, you can't deny that this kid has something, and you can't deny that there's medical science out there that could fix it, but this family has decided to deny that.
You know, it is interesting. We don't spend a lot of time with this. And I guess, is this, mm-hmm, sort of a purpose bait and switch on William B.
Totally.
Davies' part of where we think we're going to focus on another case of a troubled child?
Oh,
but really,
I don't,
it's nothing to do with that?
Yes and no, but I think it's more to entice Scully, because when you find out later, so this little boy is cured. Mm-hmm. He goes to sleep that night and men show up in his dreams.
Yes, he looks out the window and he sees like some shady guys.
Some men in black.
Here come the men in black. Hopefully you
and
remember.
They're walking towards his window, and the next day, the boy is miraculously cured of cancer.
And Scully finds out about this via, they both sort of get,
they're both tipped off, and we find out later that CPG tipped them off.
Right.
So he purposely cured this little boy to show Scully what he's capable of medically.
So that she can help him.
So that she can help him.
Because at this moment, we don't know that, because Scully gets, for some reason, the local paper, despite the fact that this is where, like, in the middle of the country, or maybe...
It's in Virginia, it's not... Which in is, D.C.,
In the backyard.
Seems like the boonies.
But she still wouldn't be getting the local paper. And then Mulder got an anonymous tip. And they're just sort of like, yes, connecting their notes.
Yeah,
right?
Mulder approaches Scully and he's like, wait till you hear about this. And she's like, I already know about this.
Super timely Touched by an Angel reference as well.
Yes.
Did you ever see Touched by an Angel?
I did, but I can't say that I was like an avid watcher.
I don't think I've ever seen. All I know is it's Sybil Shepherd and Della Reese, I think, are the.
Yeah,
the
I mean, it just wasn't. I wasn't old enough to really grasp
that. I don't
think
any of us were. Yeah. I don't think that was really our territory.
Not our territory. And wasn't one of those shows. I say that like having been an avid X-Files watcher when I was like 10. But,
yeah, but listen, no offense to Touched by an Angel. At least the X-Files is cool. Touched by an Angel isn't cool.
No, but, you know, I also watched a lot of like teen dramas, like, you know, Charmed and stuff like,
yeah,
that. So I can't say that I was like very.
But that still also has something in common. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Touched by an Angel is the same thing as Charmed. Maybe it's dealing with something in the supernatural, I guess, technically.
I guess, yeah. But anyway, we digress. We digress so far.
Yeah. So basically, by the time they go visit, like you said, he's cured, right? He's, uh-huh, running around.
And Scully, like, is like, can I ask you some questions? And he tells her what happened.
And says, I'm a Pisces.
Yeah. And then they're like, praise God. And she, like, examines him. No, they do say that at one point. They're like, praise.
I know, but I love the yada yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
God.
And then so she looks at his neck and she finds an incision exactly like her little neck's incision, basically pointing out that this kid has had what happened to her cure her cancer happened to him.
And she doesn't even need to connect the dots, though, because the dot connector is here. A big old pen in the form of cigarette smoking man pulls up.
She's
right
just
there.
Sitting there in his car.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, get in.
And he's like, I did this. It was me.
It was me. I did all this. You don't need to worry. You need to worry about it. Well, basically, he tempts her.
This is like the 90s equivalent of doing something for the gram. is doing it and just like showing up to say like, I did this.
Oh, well, I guess, yeah, in an age of social media, how will people know you did anything?
You wouldn't know.
Doing it for the gram is to do something.
Yeah, and then just go
and
there.
Then show up there to say, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small circle of people. I guess the more I think about it, the more you're correct.
I am correct.
So in this moment, he's going to tempt her, though, right?
Yeah.
Give her the initial pitch. He's going to say, listen, you want to find the cure to cancer? Here's my card. Come to CD.
Well, he also lays this on her that he's dying. And since he's dying, he wants to atone for all of his previous sins. And that gives Scully, that's like the perfect way to get to Scully, because she believes that everybody is like
good at hearted,
deserves a second chance. And if he wants to atone for his evil and give her the cure to cancer, she can't turn away from that. She's a medical doctor. I don't know if you know this.
But I don't think she realized that he was doing it for the gram.
He was doing it for the gram. Anyway, he gives her his card with her phone, his phone number on it, and she traces it, as he suspects that she will.
Right.
And she goes to his office.
What we think is his office initially.
Quote unquote, his office.
So you mentioned here that obviously we talk about, he's going to say that his body ain't doing so good after he had that.
And I don't think it is.
After he had that brain surgery, you know, that got the alien DNA in him so he could be vaccinated from the disease. But I will say when we saw him last.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. He looked much worse than he does in this episode.
Well, I just didn't think we saw enough of him. So it was like very like quick that we saw him.
I mean, he doesn't really look that bad from the outside. In fact, he looks pretty much the same as he did before.
Yeah, he doesn't. He
cigarettes
looks like,
will be hell on a person.
Yeah, truly. But yeah, no, he's dying, and I think his whole point here is to get the cure for himself.
Yeah.
You know, or
that, well, that's gonna be the big plan at the end of the day, right? Like, that's the big con, is that he's gonna get this cure for him to serve himself, but he's trying to present it altruistically,
right,
to Scully, saying,
right,
I want to do something in service to men.
And I don't even know if it has any, and I don't even know if it has anything to do with curing himself, because I don't think he can be cured with this.
Oh, well, I think that's the whole thing at the end, was that,
yeah,
he ends up taking the disc for himself to use.
Yeah, and it's like unclear whether or not he originally even cured this kid Jason, you know, like, how did he get that done?
Again, it's they're not necessarily like, this is
very high level.
It's mythological in the way of, like, it advances a singular plot point forward, but it's not really moving any of these other balls.
No. And I don't think it has anything to do with that. We do have some touch points where we learn. So she goes to visit him.
Yep.
And she, I guess he, this is like where he explains what he's dying of.
Yeah.
Which is supposedly that cerebral inflammation due to his surgery that he had during the end of the premiere.
And this is when he'll also dangle in front of her, you know, I always had a soft spot for you, you know, when I cured your cancer and everything.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to say like between on a level from 1 to 10, like a level 8, like, sexual assaultist in this.
Oh, Jesus. I just don't know where that...
He just is like...
The scale without giving me the scale to begin with.
The scale in this is that he is just inappropriate with Scully throughout this episode.
It's weird.
In a way that is like really a cringy, like, father figure slash he's into her.
Which, well, again, but not the last time we're talking about that over the course
of this podcast. No, and I just, like, this is one of the reasons I don't love this episode, is because of the weird, creepy old man vibes that he gives off.
Yeah, it's odd. I can understand why William B. Davies might want to explore this dynamic, because we really haven't seen it. We've seen so much of Mulder and Cigarette Smoking Man, but at the same time, I can't say I'm loving the result.
Well, it's like, it could have just been he's a bit of a father figure. He didn't need to buy her a skanky dress.
Father figure.
True. He didn't need to buy her like a slinky dress. He didn't need to undress her and put her to bed. He didn't need to do, and who knows if he actually did that. I mean, who's to say?
Well,
but
one of his goons to do it.
Right, because he didn't find the wire, but he knew the wire was there anyway. So I don't know, but like, it's all just unnecessary grossness, in my opinion.
Yeah, we should.
IMO.
Speaking of wires, we should also mention that Scully has her own sort of like plan within a plan, right? She bugs herself essentially to basically leave a trail for Mulder if things go south.
Right, because during his conversation with her in the office, he basically says, like, I want to take you on a trip. We're going to go get the cure. And she's like, okay, I'll
you
go.
Found me.
You're so, like, jukeboxy.
This is what happens when you get one mass Moscow Mule on me, apparently.
You haven't even had it. You've had, like, two sips.
No.
Oh, no. So, anyway, she agrees to do this because she's wearing a wire and she's going to try to send these recordings to Mulder.
Right. Meanwhile, Mulder is sort of, because Scully left without realizing, without telling him what's going on. He ends up going to her place and finds out from, I guess, the super, like, oh yeah, she left earlier with this guy that smokes like a chimney. And so the second week in a row where it's like, oh yes, I remember that man, the only man that ever smoked cigarettes in all of humankind.
Right. And at this point in time, like, it's the early 2000s. Like, people are still, like, smoking pretty heavily. Bars still allowed smoking inside.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
this is just the start of DARE.
Commercials were barely in their infancy. So now we got a little bit of a road trip going on here, though. Planes, trains, and automobiles with Cigarette Smoking Man and Scully, where basically he sort of like chastises her slash talks down to her, right, saying, oh, you keep a wall up around your heart. You know, yeah. You'll die for Mulder, but you won't allow yourself to love him.
Yeah, her face is like, ay.
Like, oh, you've been reading the fan fiction.
Yeah, truly. But anyway, she's on this little weird trip with him. And this is what you mentioned before, where he like talks to her about like saving her life. But Mulder, meanwhile, finds a message from Scully on his phone, mm-hmm. Which is suspicious. And that's what leads him to the apartment. And that's how he knows that she's with the smoking man.
As again, the only person whoever smokes.
Yeah. And that leads him to go to see Skinner.
Yeah. Basically saying like, he essentially tattles on her being like, well, she's clearly gone. You know, some things must be happening.
And Skinner's like, I don't have time for this. But Scully actually calls Skinner during this meeting. Yeah, and she's right. Like, I'm fine.
Well, because at this time, Cigarette Smoking Man has taken Scully to get another one of his quote unquote, like proof.
Yes. His like prodigy type of survivors.
Marjorie Butters.
It's a great name.
He's her angel. He's her Della Reese. Because she's 118 years old, allegedly. Yeah.
And she also has that chip implanted in her neck.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a gardener and all of that stuff. I think all of that is true.
So you think that this part is true? That
I mean, I think that he saved people like he saved Scully. Who's to say this person isn't 118 years old?
I think it's just weird because at least from what I've seen so far, we haven't experienced extended lifespan from anyone who's.
Yeah, well, and that's what I think he's trying to show here. Who knows if she's actually 118, but she's older.
Yeah.
And pretty spry.
Yeah, she's gardening and everything.
And making bread. I would like to be Marjorie Butters. She seems like she has a great life.
The butters to your bread.
Yeah, truly. So anyway.
Scully's going to try to... They pull off at a gas station, mm-hmm. and she's going to try to drop tape here. What she doesn't know is that there's been one of his shady goons that's
yeah, and we don't
him.
Know this is his goon yet. We just think somebody's following them.
Yeah.
But yes, it does turn out to be a... Like
an associate
of the Cigarette Smoking Man, but
and he grabs the recording.
Yeah, and so she is unable to get that tape to Mulder, unfortunately.
Meanwhile, Mulder is going to ask for the help of the lone gunman,
yes.
who take on a disguise.
Yeah, this is the weirdest disguise I've ever seen. I never noticed this before, but they're dressed as like the opposite of what they usually are.
Yeah, that's interesting that you picked up, because I just thought it was generic disguises, because so...
But if you look at Frohickey, he looks like Byers. And if you look at Byers, he kind of looks like Langley. And then if you look like Langley, he looks like a chef.
Yeah, well, yeah, he has like a weird like...
He's like a it's like a line cook.
Like, he looks like that guy from Sister Act 2. The one who has like his hat on his head. Yeah, all I noticed is that Frohickey had like a full head of hair, and Byers like spiked his hair again.
Byers is wearing like grunge punk wear. He's wearing
I didn't even notice that.
And he has like a fake earring in, and it's like it's not a great disguise.
I mean, they're in disguise, right? Because they feel like they're dealing with some dangerous stuff at the moment,
right? Because they've done some diving into Scully's computer, because Mulder clearly has said like she's missing, figure out where she's gone, yep. And they find that there's been emails between her and a man called Cobra, who's apparently working on a shadow project at the Department of Defense, which right. he's been corresponding with Scully, quote unquote, about.
So basically what we learn eventually is that Cigarette Smoking Man has been catfishing
yes.
as Scully.
This poor Department of Defense
man. To arrange
man.
This meeting with Cobra.
And what I gather from the later meeting between Scully and Cobra is that he's not only been catfishing him as, like, Scully, but, like, kind of leading him on a little bit.
Yeah.
This guy was like, I wish we could be together. And, like, then he gets shot and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, I bet you Cigarette Smoking Man's like, oh, I didn't think young men like this. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
A woman would talk like this.
To see those emails.
Yeah, so like you said, Cigarette Smoking Man, you know, says, hey, we have somewhere to go, and gives her this saucy little number to wear.
Well, first she wakes up in a cabin in Pennsylvania in pajamas. Yeah,
in Milford, Pennsylvania. Is that anywhere? I forget if that's anywhere near, like, any areas we've been.
Milford's pretty far out, but actually, no, Milford's pretty close to the New York border.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard
I know people from Milford.
Yeah.
Anyway, she accuses the CPG of... drugging her. She's like, you drugged me. And he was like, no, you were just exhausted. I was just trying to make you comfortable with these silk pajamas.
And he's like, but don't pay attention to this. Let me provide you with one big earth-shattering revelation.
Well, yeah, so she's...
We just don't have the cure to cancer, but to all of human disease.
What I hate about this is that she's leaving. And he's like, you can leave. You're free to go.
Yeah.
You can go. Bye.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
It's that really frustrating thing, right? Of like, you could go... But don't you want the cure to all human disease?
Yeah, it's like, the choice is yours. And so I guess she stays.
Yeah. So they go to this dinner, right? And it's a little bit like a weird, they don't exactly meet, because it, you know, Cigarette Smokey Man and Scully are having a conversation. Seems like Cobra overheard it.
Well, so what happens is that Cobra, his last message was where they're supposed to meet. And so obviously the Cigarette Smoking Man knows this. They're supposed to meet at this restaurant.
Yeah.
And so they're having dinner, and then, he doesn't approach them because she's with the Cigarette Smoking Man.
Right.
So he thinks that something's up. So the Cobra waits and then slides a note under her thing to tell her where to meet.
Yeah. To go to Calico Cove at first light of day. So, medieval.
What's wild about this is that Cigarette Smoking Man doesn't think that he came. And then Scully tells him. So if Scully hadn't said anything, like, I don't know, she could have met this guy on her own.
Yeah, though I don't know how
she would have done that. She doesn't know where Calico...
Maybe she's like, okay, you know what? I will take your offer. I'm going to leave at this moment.
Yeah, really. But prior to that, I do think we have a little bit with the lone gunman, and they're going to go to Skinner to find out why Scully was communicating with Cobra, and they find that Scully's computer was hacked.
Right, so they basically find, like, oh, she's... It says she read the emails, but she never actually read the emails.
Yeah, it wasn't her. It was somebody else.
Change your passwords, people.
I guess so, yeah.
So we're going to Calico Cove next day.
Calico Cove.
They go out into the middle of the water, spy style, right? Where
It's like a river.
It's somewhere. Kind of like what looks like a little bit of a GameCube CD, like one of the mini CDs.
It's like a mini disc, yeah. And it's like perfectly like... For this time period,
right?
It's perfect.
Very espionage-y. Right? Yes, like, this contains all the information you need.
Yeah, and so he is like, "Oh, here it is," and he gives it to her, and then he's killed right as she's like, "I don't know who you are." Yeah,
he gets gunned down. Turns out that the goon was a sniper, and the goon was about to take out Scully as well.
And luckily, he gets killed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, say what you want about the Cigarette Smoking Man. At opportune moments, he will have a heart.
I don't even know if that's it, or he was just tying up his loose ends and, like, figured he needed Scully to get that disc back, you know?
I guess so, but he could have just gone out into the middle of the water and gotten it.
Yeah, it's inconvenient. You know, let's have her come back to shore.
Yeah, so Scully ends up coming back.
Yeah, and when he takes... This is, like, something that it's hard to notice, but when he helps her out of the boat, he swaps the discs.
Oh, the amazing Malini would be so proud
of
this sleight of hand work.
And so... The disc that she now has that she immediately brings to the lone gunman is blank.
Yeah. Then there's this thing, right, where like he takes it from her initially and he's like, here, you have it. And you think it's like such a gesture of goodwill, but nope, this was the con all along.
Yeah.
The CD was switched out. And even when Scully goes to like visit him to confront him, his office is empty as if it never existed.
Yeah, exactly. There's nobody there. And Mulder's like, this was a con. Like you were conned.
And he feels to the extent that he thought everything was made up between Jason and Marjorie Butters and everything. It seems like you're saying that maybe that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jason was cured of cancer. The same thing that cured Scully. But the reason behind it was to lure Scully in, not out of his goodwill. You know, it's like he just did it because he knew that would capture her attention. Like, he could have picked any random person dying of cancer, but he knew that one would get a news article and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and then who knows about Marjorie Butters? Maybe she was cured, too, and maybe he did that to test it prior, you know, maybe it was a test a long time ago. Maybe she's like who knows?
So it ends.
I don't know.
It ends here though with a little bit of tete-a-tete between the two, right? Of like, oh, he's truly evil. No, for one second, you know, I saw a little bit of beauty within the beast.
Yeah.
So just to show that like, yes, this dude is bad, but hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe he's capable of, you know, thinking of things other than his lust for power.
Well, and so the little side note about this, the script when it was being written was revised a couple of times because there were a lot of scenes that were cut, including one teaching Scully how to water ski.
What?
And the original script also featured one Alex Krycek.
Oh, okay. Well, you must be very happy. Why?
It was cut. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it would make sense if he was the goon.
I think it was just like maybe he was the goon. I don't know. But they were like, it was cut.
All right. Interesting. Well, I would have loved to see Scully, specifically William B. Davies, teach Scully how to water ski.
Yeah. And I guess that he had all these ideas and like he was happy with it at the end. But, you know, there was a lot that was going on.
Right. And so I'm going to assume that this is the end of the, oh, no, Cigarette Smoking Man is sick storyline.
Yes. I mean, you'll see more of this, which is annoying. But I think the main point here is that like, it's meant to show you that, like, Scully was manipulated by him.
Yeah.
Like, she isn't infallible. She isn't somebody who can, like, she's not always the right one.
Yeah, now even she has a little bit of an axe to grind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, of like, okay, you know, Mulder obviously has a lot of stuff between the two of them, but now mm-hmm. Scully's like, okay, now I see what he's capable of.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to stay on all things Scully, literally. Next, we're talking about all things after this message.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stunt actor was used for the where Scully's driving the boat.
Wait, a stunt actor was used when driving the boat?
Yeah. So like I was just reading the stunt actor was used for Gillian Anderson when she was driving the boat.
I mean, that makes sense.
Because she can't drive a boat.
She can't drive a boat. Yeah.
Anyway,
we're back. Fun little tease to take you into this next part. Because it makes sense, though, because we open on, you know, Scully talking about, like, the
yes.
lives that we take. What if I did learn how
Mike
to drive
Bloom,
a boat?
You've seen it. All things.
All things. One of your favorite episodes.
It is one of my favorite episodes. And I won't say that it's one of my favorite episodes just because of like the relationship drama. I think it's
because of the
coitus, the confirmed coitus. But I think it's amazing from a story perspective and a filming perspective and a writing perspective. Gillian Anderson like outdoes herself here.
So is this the first time she did this on the X-Files?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware. I mean, it's
interesting.
It was, I think it was the first time.
Okay.
Unless I'm wrong. I mean, somebody can tell
me. If they're thinking that this is the last
one. It's the one I remember.
I can imagine her being like, all right, you know what? Let me do one.
And it isn't really connected to the wider arc.
No, absolutely not.
It's more of a character situation.
It's a deep dive into the Scully character, specifically like a blast from the past. I think her own reconciliation with the ideas of mm-hmm. fate and determinism.
And also religion. I mean, she
bit of religion in there, yeah.
She is very much so. And this is like integral to Scully is like, what's her relationship with God? And now
that
she's
cross.
Discovering Buddha, you know, like, I love it.
Yeah.
The music in here is like
Moby
primo. It just like really drives the whole episode. It's this very
it's really unique.
It's like a heartbeat almost.
Yeah. It's interesting that we keep bringing it back. It almost seems like it's out of almost a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was, I could see them taking a version of this script and adapting it into its own separate film, almost like Run Lola Run, about this idea of like, you know, determinism and happenstance and meeting people. Like,
yeah.
There are some interesting ideas in here that I would say almost transcend the show.
Well, yeah, it's very philosophical. The whole episode is all about fate, you know, what we can affect, what we can't affect, what leads us, what choices we make lead us to where we are.
Right. And that's what Scully narrates about almost uncharacteristically in the beginning. Right? I think that's a good hint as to where we're going this episode, or where we're going immediately. As
well, yeah. So at the beginning of the episode, let's just dive right in. Yeah. We're in one Fox Mulder's apartment, but we don't know that yet. All we see is Dana Scully, the one and only, getting dressed in front of a mirror. She's like very disheveled. She's getting dressed. She's kind of like looking at herself. Like you can tell there's like something like she's like done something intense. Yeah. And the music like leads you to that. And we kind of pan over as she leaves the apartment and we see a half-naked Mulder.
Yeah, I did not recognize this as Mulder's place at first.
It is his place. You can tell by the blinds on the window.
He has the blinds?
Yeah, he has these like weird wood blinds. Anyway, it's his place.
Yeah, and I mean, admittedly, there are several pieces of interior decorating that I did not recognize between like the fish tank.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. It's his place. They did it. They
went from waterbed to fish tank.
Coitus confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happened.
It happened. And it's weird because we don't even see like what led into it at the end of the episode like we thought we would.
No, and I don't know that there's tons for you to know about that other than.
Well, I mean, I have some images in my head.
No, but I think that like, I think what led into it is, you know, she fell asleep there. You imagine something like happened.
Wake up, do me.
Right. But I think she falls asleep, all they're talking about is what led us here. Imagine what things would be. And like, he's like, I don't know what things would be. And then, you know, she's asleep and he tucks her in and it's very precious. But anyway, that's jumping ahead. Right. The whole episode sort of starts here, but then we flash back 3 days.
So there's a little bit of odd sort of separatist stuff going on. Yes. Mulder's concerned.
Well, and this is, I think, why Scully has this like epiphany is that like they're falling apart a little bit at this point.
Because Mulder's gone down the umpteenth rabbit hole. This time it's about computer generated crop circles.
Yeah. And she just like loses it. She's just
going to town on a salad. She's not listening.
Yeah. And she's just like, pardon like me, but I don't care.
Like, yeah, this is, and we've gotten this a couple times, right? Like, I'm thinking specifically back to the body switching Michael McKean episode, right? Where there's like the, why don't you, have you ever thought about just living a normal life?
Right. But I think in those instances, she's still sort of committed to the mission. Here, she's like truly just like, does not want anything to do with these crop circles. She's just like, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to do it.
She feels like Mulder's always chasing the next big thing. She literally asked him, why don't you just stay still?
Yeah. And like, he is basically like, okay, well, I'm going to England to look at these crop circles and Stonehenge. You're coming with me. And she's like, not coming. He's like, fine, I'll cancel your ticket. And that's like where they leave it.
Yeah. And so, but in the
he's like, do me a favor, though. Exactly. I need you to go pick up some docs from a dock. And
the docs.
Yeah. And her first stop is actually to the hospital where she's going to go pick up some autopsy results.
So let's talk about some cinematography choices, because there are several points throughout this episode when things will just like
slow down
for dramatic effect, almost to show like the sliding doors, right? The butterfly effect happening.
It's the butterfly effect. It's the chance. It's the choice that you make during that moment. So like when she's in the hospital and she's going to grab those results, it's if she hadn't taken that envelope, if the envelope didn't have Daniel Waterstein's results in them, like all of these things had to happen for her to get to that point. So it's like showing you that.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
But I will say that our TV did glitch during this time. So it was much slower than it was supposed to be.
Super dramatic.
You were like, is the TV broken? I'm like, yes and no.
Is that about everything moving in slow motion?
I was like, yes, it is, but it is slow-mo.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. Cause she gets handed this envelope. So these are the wrong test results.
Yeah. So she's supposed to have done an autopsy and is going to get the results from that autopsy. They give her the envelope. It says the person's name on it, but the results inside are Daniel Waterstein. So she goes back to the desk and she's like, I think I have the wrong results. And the nurse is like, oh, mistake, swaps them out. And she goes, quick cue, is the D. Waterstein Dr. Daniel Waterstein? And like, she's like, oh, yeah, he is. And he's in this room and blah, blah, blah. And like, she's like, hey,
giving away a lot of information.
They did give a lot of information away. But I guess if she was like cleared to get results, maybe she's
a medical doctor. Yeah. Listen, they're going to give her a lot of leeway in the rest of this episode as well when it comes to the hospital. But yes, she's going to go, you know,
she's curious. She's like, I got to go see him.
So she's going to see Dr. Daniel Waterstein almost like lying there comatose in a bed.
Well, yeah. And so we'll find this out. But her relationship with him is that he was her professor in medical school and she had an affair with him. Yeah. He was her mentor and she had an affair with him. And then she decided to join the FBI and he basically like disavowed that. He was like, no, that's not a good idea. You're making a mistake. And she was like, okay, well, I'm leaving this and I'm leaving you and like, bye bye.
It's so
you have to think about like, they've added this in here. Like Scully season one, episode one is like, that's post her relationship with Daniel Waterstein. Yeah. Like,
and it seemed to, and it was a sordid affair, obviously. Like,
probably, she's much older now.
Like, ruined his family.
I mean, you see her and him now, and it's like, it's an eh, but it's fine.
A little bit of a May, December going on.
Yeah, but it's not bad because she's not old, but she's more mature, and he's like not ancient.
But the more you think about it, the more you're like, that's manipulative.
And we find out that he's very sick. He has an undiagnosed heart condition. And she basically, he's like questioning whether she made the right decision to leave him and medical work.
Well, initially, though, she like just snoops in and then she freaks out and goes home. And then she gets a call from his daughter.
Yeah. So his daughter's name is Maggie. And she finds out that
I wasn't sure if he was just chasing another piece.
It's his daughter. And she knows who it is. And like she basically like knows that Scully was there.
But we don't know who she is. There's this weird thing they do when she's talking on the phone. They like put the top half of her face in shadow to be like, oh, she's this mysterious person.
Like, I guess. Yeah. No, not just, really. It's not Waterston's really. Daughter.
Yeah, Maggie's not really a mystery here.
And so, yeah, she's very resentful of Scully because her dad, like, crumbled after Scully left.
Yeah.
So, really, really effed up their life. So, she's, like, she basically calls Scully and is like, hey, he's asking for you, but, like, we're not cool.
Yeah. So, as, you know, this is, Scully does go back and talk to him a little bit. And this is where, like you said, we get a lot of this really intriguing backstory. I mean, maybe one of the reasons why she left medicine was because this type of thing was going
on. Yes. Yeah. I mean, impressionable young student and older professor, like not a great vibe, but
not a great
I guess
vibe
they were
the
in love. So they say.
They have a nice rapport.
They do. And you can tell that they both respect each other, but like he doesn't respect or he didn't approve of her decision to join the FBI. And she basically questions.
And that's still something that he holds resentment for like 10 years later.
Well, and apparently we find out in a little bit that he's been in Washington for 10 years.
Because after his life fell apart, basically like he got divorced from his wife.
And he came to find her.
He's been slumming it in DC for 10 years.
Like for her. Which is wild.
Yeah, that's...
So...
That's awkward.
It's super awkward. And she basically is, like, questioning whether she made the right call to, like, leave him. And, like, he basically puts her whole world into a spin here.
And things spin even more as, you know, she's pulling out of the hospital and she nearly runs over...
another slow-mo situation
this
with...
this random young woman.
Yeah, so we're going to see this lady throughout the episode. She's, like, a blonde woman wearing a hat and a tan coat and, like, classic early 2000s, like, running sneakers with socks and, like...
I'd love to describe this outfit to the T.
I do. I want people to know. And so she avoids like colliding with a truck.
Yeah.
And like if the woman hadn't stepped in front of her, she would have died.
Right.
You know, so this woman keeps popping up.
Her own guardian angel.
Yeah, kind of. And I mean, like she keeps seeing her. So she's clearly like something that Scully's imagining almost. So anyway, this is right before that too. Mulder calls Scully and is like, hey, I need you to go I need you to go talk to this associate of mine. Her name is Colleen and she has some information. I need you to go get it. Go get it.
Yep. And so she does, but it turns out to be a much more inspirational visit than she might have initially thought.
First of all, this lady is like, I like her as an actress. She's from like a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Including...
Oh, her name is Colleen as well. Colleen Flynn.
Yeah, she was in a few things. I can't remember. I mean, she's like one of those actresses you see a lot. Anyway, I think the big thing is that like Scully shows up at her door and she just all of a sudden is like, you've been through a very personal crisis right now. And Scully's like, oh, I almost got in a car accident. She's like, that's not little. Like, she, like, is, like...
It's weird. Like, I think they're trying to personify her as, like, almost a mystic.
Yes.
Right? Of, like,
And I think she a little bit is.
I feel the bad aura around you.
later when she goes into her house, it's like very much so that vibe of like new age.
It's interesting though, because her history though is that she was a doctor.
Yeah, she was a doctor. She was totally science over faith all the way, and then had her own personal health scare and found Buddha, I guess.
Yeah. But what makes Scully pause is that she finds a picture amongst what the information that she's given of the heart chakra crop circle, which given Dr. Daniel Waterstein's heart issues almost feels like a sign from above.
And so Colleen also shares with Scully the Buddhism stuff here. And like, she's talking about things like collective unconscious, like how we're all connected and all of these things. Like, we were talking about the aura and whatever. And she's like, maybe all of this is explaining what's happening to you. Anyway,
she's going to go back to Daniel. We can have more a little
bit like heart to heart situation.
I mean, heart to bad heart.
Yeah.
There's this really awkward moment where she reaches out her hand and he like doesn't hold it. He more so like touches the fingertips. Like,
yeah, it must be something that they've done before, but they're like touching and then they clasp hands and then they're holding hands. And then she lays on him and then he almost dies.
Yeah, maybe he was just so excited that like his heart gave out.
Anyway, she has to like pull out her MD here and
which is like, she doesn't need to though. This is the wild thing, is he flatlines, we cut to commercial, we cut back from commercial, and she has the paddles.
Yeah, no, she's like, well, she started CPR. I think like if somebody starts CPR, they like, they're the ones that are in charge.
No.
In a hospital, you don't know.
But that's not protocol whatsoever. If there was like a lifeguard was giving CPR, I'm not like, all right, here you go, take the paddles, you can do my job for today.
Well, I think maybe the whatever, these nurses trust her. She
that
knows
was just wild.
I don't know. If I was a nurse and like I knew my skills and somebody like Scully stepped in, I would be like, yeah, okay, give it a go. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how it works, but either way, she saves him. But we find out she also put him in a coma.
Good news, bad news situation. Like, I guess his heart is so broken that he's now in a coma.
And so she's walking around and she's sad and she's walking through Chinatown and she sees the woman again, across the street. And so she decides to follow her. And she follows her into a Buddhist temple.
Yeah, an apothecary.
Yeah, and inside of here, Scully has what we can only call a vision.
I suppose so. She's in front of the Buddha shrine. She sinks to her knees.
And she starts, like, praying almost. And she's having some kind of, like, moment, some experience.
And her mind flashes, and we see actually a pretty familiar sight to X-Files fans, right? Like, this is usually used
body
to imitate alien abduction is, like, the all-white light, naked body floating.
But what we don't usually see is a see-through chest and his heart.
Yeah, we see Dr. Daniel Waterstein naked, and all of a sudden we see his entire cardiovascular system, like he's one of those see-through models see in a museum.
Yeah, that rough show that they did with Prisoners a long time ago. You know, the bodies exhibit.
Oh, yeah, the bodies exhibit. But yeah, it's I'm not entirely sure. Is this just supposed to represent to Scully, like, this will be the way to cure him?
Yes, I think it's supposed to represent to her that,
or
like...
is it like, he has a heart?
Both.
How his heart works, Scully.
Maybe. But I think it's more to show her that, like, she needs to go back to Colleen and talk to Colleen about Buddhism and how to heal somebody that's not through a doctor.
Yeah, because she's going to recruit some sort of, like, faith healer. Because the next time we go to the hospital, the doctor walks in and is understandably outraged when
this guy's like super over it.
Dr. Daniel Waterstein's body.
Yeah, and Scully's like, you know what? But like, what's the harm? Like, and I totally agree. Like, if as long as you're doing everything you can medically, what is the harm?
See, I would say that, but also clear it with the doctor first.
Scully is the doctor.
Like, I don't think a doctor should be able to walk in and be surprised by what's going on.
I guess so, but you should also be able to do whatever you want to your family.
Do you think Dr. Daniel Waterstein was like, no matter what, whatever happens to me, Dana Scully has, like, command of this. No,
probably.
She has supervision above the doctor.
Yeah, so anyway, they heal this dude, and he fully recovers, but he's just like, I want to be with you, Scully. I want to be with you. And she's like, I am not that gal.
Yeah, she feels like this whole entire vision quest that she's been on, represents the fact that he essentially has been running away from the truth.
Yeah.
And needs to own up to the damage that he caused himself and his family from 10 years ago.
And not only that, he's been sort of stuck still. He's yeah. been sort of like...
He's been living in the past.
Living in the past, not moving forward. And like she has, like she...
She's a medical doctor.
She's a medical doctor, but she's also an FBI agent. And she also is like BFFs with Mulder.
Yeah, about to boink Mulder.
Yeah. And so she's just like, okay, we're done.
It's this thing where I think her mind was really torn asunder throughout all this. It's clear talking with the
other. Because she didn't expect to see him. So yeah, it really threw her for a loop.
She also drudged up a lot of feelings, right? Like she vocalized how seeing him brought up a lot of doubt to her of like,
did I make the right decision?
Should
all
I have
that
gone
stuff?
To the FBI? You know, you were someone.
But then she realizes like, this is what I did and that this is where I am and I just need to move forward.
She realized that it's a thing of the past and it should remain in the past. Yeah. And so she basically says like, no, I'm not giving you another chance.
Yeah. She's like, you need to go fix your family. You need to be there for Maggie. You need to like live your life. And she leaves. And so she's outside of the hospital sitting on a bench. Moby's playing and she sees the mysterious woman again.
Yes. And she is able to chase after her and actually
tap the shoulder,
but it's not her.
So as soon as the person turns around, it's Mulder wearing a baseball cap, which you just like didn't like that cap.
First of all, the cap did not look good on him.
It was a Stonehenge cap. It was like from his travel.
Second of all, though, the jacket is the more questionable choice.
Fine.
I know that obviously you want to go for like, oh, he was wearing the same jacket, but like it does not look
good. It's just
good.
A tan jacket. I don't know why you're so up in arms about it.
It just looks terrible on him.
Anyway,
I'll be upfront. It looks terrible on him.
Okay.
Throw that in the trash.
Okay.
Mulder.
Okay. Get over it. So basically we are, understand that she's been sort of chasing after, to get back to Mulder.
Right. Like she,
and her life with
she
him.
She was this guardian angel led her back to him in particular.
Yeah. And what her life was and what her life is, you know, not necessarily in the past, but in the present.
So they sort of ruminate on the day, right? Like, you know, Scully says sometimes nothing happens for a reason. Mulder.
And Mulder's just like really existential about it. And he's like implying that fate is the thing that brought them together. Like, what if we had taken a different turn at any point? And what if we had done this? And she's like, yeah, like, well, what if we had done? And then like, then she falls asleep while he's like ruminating on philosophy.
Yeah. He does like, oh, Scully, Scully. And then the soundtrack plays one more time as Mulder pulls a blanket over him while she's like passed out on his little futon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we assume that.
Well, what's interesting about that is that, you know, Gillian Anderson didn't write the episode implying that they had had sex, but the production crew like felt it was like natural to suggest that. So like they just kind of evolved that into a romantic one.
So interesting. Because I still do wonder how this cute gesture then leads to something fairly carnal that leads to like her embarrassingly getting up and leaving.
Well, I don't think she's embarrassed. I think she's just like, this is what happened. Like that they have a romantic relationship as well as a professional one.
Yeah, but like, I could wait for him to wake up.
I guess so. It seems like it's the middle of the night, though.
Which is also worse if she leaves.
You know what?
The night.
No, you don't get to judge her.
All right, I'm not going to judge her. She's lived a story so far. This is a really
it's a great episode.
Unique episode of The X-Files. Why is the title in all lowercase?
Well, I think it's just to represent that. I honestly don't know the answer, but my opinion is that it's to represent like that it's about like the saying, like in all things, you know, like in all things, we are this and all, you know, like that, how people say that. I think that's supposed to be it.
Okay. Yeah. If anyone has any information as to like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it's like something, but I don't know. I just kind of always thought it was like about how you say that instead of like it being a proper noun.
Yeah. It's an interesting,
it's part of a sentence
of like holistic medicine. Cause I feel like we haven't really tackled that.
Yeah.
Yet, you know?
Non-medical, you mean Eastern, Western.
Feel like in the like late 90s, early 2000s, there was that idea of like, you know, Native American spiritual totems instead of medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this is another connector between these two episodes, right? The idea of faith over science.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, there's, you know, a lot of ties to other episodes like All Souls and like all of, you know, I think that there's other things in there, but I, you know, again, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. I just read this from Spencer because I guess he listened to the DVD commentary from Gillian Anderson. It says apparently the original backstory for Scully and Dr. Waterston was much darker.
Yeah.
Having a divorce, his wife hung herself.
Yeah, cool. We don't need to go into that.
Yeah, that's terrible. And that would really be like, hey, you really have to deal with your stuff because you broke up your family in so many ways. I'm imagining this is the last time we see this guy.
Yeah, we don't see him again. But I do like that there's this idea also throughout this episode of like, we can learn from like intuitive women's intuition or whatever you want to call it. But like sometimes when things are irrational or quote unquote, like, well, you know, when people are like, oh, you're just like overreacting to something, I think that that's sort of represented here as well, which I like.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it that way.
I know, because you're a man.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that Scully, I think, is all just questioning her own guidance and the fact that she was able to guide herself down the correct path.
Right. And in the past, you know, she really like let him guide what she wanted to do. And so stepping away from that and, you know, having him not really direct her life, I think is...
Yeah, having almost like another confirmed affirmation of, no, you're okay.
Yeah, I'm me and I make my own decisions and they lead to me doing stuff with Mulder.
It's a really interesting journey for Scully, because like also Mulder being away almost forces her to take on a bit of that Mulder role as well of like, okay, I have to handle all your crazy crap. Oh, there's that. This is actually interesting.
Right. And I think also the fact that previous to now, she's been like aggressively Catholic is nice that we get this sort of change where she can like change her beliefs and we get a little bit more of her view on that.
Is this incorporated into the character moving forward?
I think so, to an extent.
Like
I don't
when
think
Lisa Simpson became a Buddhist.
No, I mean, she's not a Buddhist now, but she, like, understands that, like, you know, there's more to spirituality than one thing.
Yeah, than, like, the one specific sect she's been a part of.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk spooks on this spooky day.
So Cigarette Smoking Man is specifically when he undresses Scully and puts her to bed.
That's a very good call. you know what, spook? I also might spook Jason's dad. Like, he's, yeah,
he's
the
pretty
most
spooky,
devoutly God-fearing one.
And then in all things Moby.
The singer Moby.
The singer Moby.
No, it's got to be for me, Dr. Daniel Waterston.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
The
Waterston.
Little perf, little mustached perf.
Yeah, I didn't like his mustache. Not a mustache fan over here.
Maybe, do you think he had the mustache during the affair, or did he grow it afterwards to, like, disguise himself?
No, he seems like one of those, like, salt and pepper, like, silver fox types.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, two big episodes of The X-Files that unfortunately involve people doing, awkward things to Dana Scully.
Yeah, truly, yeah.
But we have moved on from that. We're rounding
the baby!
On season 7, two more episodes, and then we're finishing off with the finale next week. Sorry, 2 weeks. Next week is season 7, episode 19, Hollywood AD, and season 7, episode 20, Fight Club.
Yeah, these are great episodes. You're going to really enjoy them.
So Hollywood AD, I can only imagine where that takes place.
Yes.
Fight.
A lot of guest stars. I will tell you that Kathy Griffin is in Fight Club.
But is it legitimately?
No. Okay, no, it's just like a... It's
well,
like a
Fight Club is popular at the time. Let's have
no, it's just the title of the episode. It has to do with fighting, but it's like I'm not even going to go into it. No, it's not Fight Club.
I was so confused when I...
I mean, I guess in a way, but no, it's not really.
Why do they call it Fright Club?
I don't know.
I think that'd be funny.
Oh, good. You should write to them.
Yeah. Dear Chris Carter, I know I'm several years after the fact, and I do apologize. Why did you call it Fright Club? Sincerely, Mike Bloom, age 32.
Sincerely, Mike Bloom, parentheses, Mr. X.
Yeah, Mr. Oh, yeah. I'd probably go back to student for that because he'd like that. It'd be so mysterious.
Mr. X Files.
I should change it legally.
You should not.
I'm Mr. X Files.
Oh, my God. We need to go.
We need to get out of here. this has been a great time to spend Halloween. These were two really interesting episodes.
I've been so spooked.
Season 7, man, has been like firing on all cylinders. They really thought they were going out with a bang.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. Seasons after this. Don't get too pumped for 8 and 9, but there's some good stuff in there. There's some like real like... 8 and 9 really do have like some story shit happening, whereas we don't get a ton of mythology in these episodes for season 7. It is a lot of one-offs, but they're really good one-offs.
Well, two more one-offs next week. Season 7 episodes 19 and 20, Hollywood AD, Fight Club. You know what to do if you have feedback. xfiles@postshowrecaps.com or bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com. You can write in to us on Twitter as well, at @angepelagi, at @amikebloomtype, at @postshowrecaps. I hope you all are having a fantastic Halloween. We'll be back next week talking more spooks with Hollywood AD and Fight Club. Special thanks to Corey B for his fantastic theme song. Until next week, case closed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.